Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Sub no. Stop. Drop. Shut them down. Open up shop. Oh, no. That's how Rough Riders roll. Stop.
Welcome, everyone, to a special, a very special, an emergency MLL podcast live from the floor at LaxCon, overlooking all the people going to coaching clinics. I'm your host, Kyle Devin. I'm the Gear and Lifestyle Editor. And if it's an MLL podcast, you know who my co-host is, and I'll let him introduce himself.
What's up, everybody? This is Chris Rosenthal, MLL analyst over Inside Lacrosse.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, you know Subdraft happened. We're going to go over all the players, regardless of whether or not they were named as NAs, nasty attackmen. Kind of is the only thing that works. So anyway, if you played another position, they just messed up your designation. Sorry. But we're going to go team by team, and we're going to pick out some of the teams that did the best, and we're going to go from there. We're going to give you guys our thoughts, because we didn't do a preview because it's LaxCon week. I don't know why we did a sub-draft LaxCon week. Remember when the MLL did the draft during LaxCon?
Yeah. It was a mess, and it was weird.
Yeah, that was worse. But now this is pretty awesome. We're going to go alphabetically. We're going to start with the Atlanta Blaze. Rosie, give me your thoughts. I'll list off the picks after you're done.
All right, so first thing about the Blaze is you kind of have to you got to factor in two things going into it. You know, they picked up Matt Gibson and Tommy Palisade.
Right.
So they were already kind of looking to reshape their team. And so draft day, they pulled off the trade with the Dallas Rattlers, which is going to be weird to say for months.
I'm not ready.
For the Texas Rattlesnakes, as I like to call them. And so they sent Randy Stotts and Jesse King over to Dallas along with one of their picks. So basically, you know, Atlanta's kind of in this position where they're sticking with some things that work, and then they're kind of reshaping everything else about their identity. And James Pinnell. They trade James Pinnell up to Boston as well. You know, probably now more than ever, giving the keys to Kevin Rice and trusting that he and Gibson and Palisade are going to really kind of define that offense. But as far as their pickups go, you know, they picked up Dylan Donahue, brought him back.
Yep.
And got the Nobles.
Got to get the Nobles, yep. Even though they're going to be playing for Team Canada and missing games.
Right, and their NOL stuff.
Yep.
But, so, I mean, those are the ones that jump out as far as their earlier picks, as far as what they're looking to do. I guess Donahue is probably pulling him back where they did. Maybe he's like a fourth option right now. You'd have to assume they want Palisade and Gibson and Rice as their starting three, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you got to have that. If the trading of Stotts means they need the fourth guy for cover. I don't know. I think Dylan Donahue would have been there after the first or second round, but, you know, they didn't want to risk it, and they went with him. And, you know, you dress for attack. Right? Yep. I mean, typically, sometimes teams only dress three, but very rarely. And that makes a lot of sense. Again, you pointed out the Nobles. Those all make sense. The rest of these guys are cover. I think my favorite pick that they made is in the ninth round. Sam Linares, formerly of Hofstra, hasn't really gotten a shot in the MLL that much. You know, the thing that the FIO, and this is kind of going to be a theme going forward, two big things that are going to cut into the MLL schedule are, of course, the NLL schedule, as well as the FIL World Championships that'll take place sometime in July. Teams will miss. There's a MLL tried to put in a break, but it's really not enough, to be honest with you, considering that the World Championships are in Israel and Netanya, Israel, and they're flying all the way there, flying all the way back.
Yeah.
That's not something you recover from and then play a game the next day, especially if, you know, let's say one of these teams, you know, only one team wins the gold. Someone's going to be upset. So, yeah, it's definitely something to take into account. I don't know if I see anyone else on here that's going to make an impact right away. And I think you're going to hear that a lot in this podcast. And it's one of the reasons we didn't do really too much of a preview is because the subdraft is a lot of cover. Yes, you get deals. And you know, the deals that came out, you know, they're not going to break any records for anything. But I think that you get cover guys, you get guys on the back end that can fill in and be competent players. And then in the last rounds, you're picking local guys for practice squads.
Right. Yeah. I mean, how many guys got picked? Like 115 or something like this? A lot of the guys are like, they're like lottery tickets, you know? You just hope maybe they show up and really, really deliver, especially early in the season where your roster's kind of a little less defined. So, you know, we'll see. It's not necessarily everybody who's a given to be a success.
Exactly. And with that, we'll move on to our next team. Again, in alphabetical order, your Boston Cannons. Picking up Benny Pugh, they had the first pick. Of course, they got that. They did not have the best record in the league. So they got the actually had the worst, so they get the first pick in the subdraft. Picking up Benny Pugh for goalie cover for Fiorito. What did you think of that?
You know, I really liked that. Last year, Tyler Fiorito, obviously not his fault. I think we all know how goalie play works. It's not all your fault.
Right.
Career high in goals against, career's low in save percentage. You know, if you're going to grab Benny Pugh, who, I mean, we saw him play for Richmond. He was a monster.
Yep.
So bring him in. You know, what's the harm that happens there? And I think you have to go for him first round. So I'm not, you know, especially in supplemental draft, I don't really think there's too many reaches. You know, like, just make your grocery list and get who you want.
It's almost positional need.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm cool with Benny Pugh coming in, and, you know, good luck to him.
Yeah, their other pick in the first round was Tanner Scales from Virginia, defender. Obviously, they need defenders. They just sent, prior to the supplemental draft, Matt Landis over to, if you're, okay, over to the New York Lizards. But, yep. Like, before I even tell you the rest of the trade, you probably already know it. Hey, who are you taking a call from the Lizards after what happened?
No, if I see a New York area code coming over to
you're just
Boston.
Smashing your phone.
Yeah, no, it's like, I thought, yeah. I told you don't call me anymore.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, new phone, who dis?
Yeah,
why are you calling me? To finish the trade, sorry about that tangent. Matt Landis from the Cannons was moved to the New York Lizards for Ryan Walsh,
yep.
And Scotty Furman of Syracuse. Walsh is a matchup he does well. But he has to have his matchup, and he has to get space to play. And I think he wasn't going to get that in the Lizards anyway. So, and he didn't play every game. So, and he's kind of a slash player because he's so big.
Right.
A lot of teams ran him out of the midfield to see if he could get a mismatch. I think for Boston, that's what they need. They need to experiment because they couldn't do anything right on offense last year. And they need to have that kind of presence. Again, we mentioned earlier, the Cannons also traded for James Pinnell. And Pinnell had a breakout season last year. It's a little surprising the Blaze kind of, you know, let him go. But on the Cannons, that's a guy who's going to get to, if he is going to be a midfielder.
Right.
You know, he's going to get to play. And actually on Boston, he's an attackman. He can play a little too. Any other guys that the Cannons picked up in their subdraft that you liked?
Yeah, I liked, fifth round that they took Jimmy Daly. And I know we've written and spoken about him in the past.
Yeah.
So last year's with Florida. Played 5 games with him, 7 goals, 4 assists. He's the kind of guy, you know, ankle breaker, just lines up at X and just, you know, breaks down your defense. And he was one of those reasons why Florida was able to stay afloat, you know, before they got their Dylan Malloy's, that whole stacked rookie class.
Yes.
So he's kind of, Jimmy Daly kind of does this every year or so. He shows up for a team and just kind of helps them early and then, you know, usually moves along and then, you know, they bring in the rest of their squad. But if you have kind of an early season roster that's still in flux, you're still waiting for rookies to try to bail you out, you know, I think he's a perfect fit in that situation.
Yeah, and Boston needs some dodging power at attack. I mean, that's really their biggest weakness, especially after trading Will Manny for a bag of beans. Any other thoughts on the Cannons before we move on?
Nope, not really.
Yeah, a lot of cover guys. I mean, there's a possibility one of these guys becomes a regular starter for Boston because Boston is so bereft of talent at a lot of positions that if a guy comes in and impresses Coach Quirk, like, you know, and then the rest of that.
Yeah.
By the way, we should mention, amazing coaching staff for the Cannons.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, bringing on Dom is a huge move. Don't discount that. So
and Ben Rubior now as well.
And Ben Rubior, which, you know, who might be the most underrated scorer in the history of the MLL. In my opinion. But with that said, we're going to move on to the Charlotte Hounds. Rosie, what the hell did Charlotte do? What is this? What am I looking at?
It feels like not a lot, you
it's
know?
Madness is what it is.
Yeah. You know, you look at it's just kind of, it seems like maybe they were cool with where they were going to be and kind of just, you know, picked up some extra guys here and there. Midfield depth, kind of. Maybe they might have seen it as their priority.
It's a lot of two-way guys.
Yeah.
It's a lot of... The whole draft is two-way guys.
Yeah.
You know, except for Schneider, who's goalkeeping help, which they need. They need a consistent guy to step up. I don't know if Schneider's the answer there. But Osika's the definition of a two-way guy that doesn't have a real role in the MLL yet. Out of Albany, played for the Blaze last year. Tyler German, same thing. Just his career was kind of, you know, interrupted by some injuries. But other than that, like, he's a solid two-way player. He dropped really far, so you got to think, like, is he going to play? That's the other thing about the sub-draft. As we go through these teams, we don't know who's playing. Like, right. And you know what? Neither do the coaches. Don't lie. You didn't call every one of these players. Like, a lot of the later rounds are local guys that you already know or gambles. And that's why they're still there, because other teams aren't going to draft your local player. They're not going to, I mean, it's, you've seen teams like sabotage other teams and tank guys
sure.
and try to hold them ransom. And I got to be honest, the MLL, this is not a great strategy. It just makes enemies. And when you have to trade guys and guys do move so often, it's not wise to have enemies on other teams
right.
If you're a coach or GM. So any other things that stand out? I like Corpulongo. I just don't know where he fits with the offense. I just don't see it unless he's going to set up on the outside. And,
right.
and be a bomber, like.
Right. That's the thing about a lot of their picks. It's just kind of like a, you know, bring them into tryouts kind of thing. See if anybody rises to the top. Notable, I thought, Ian King going in the third round.
Yeah.
Michigan guy. You know, there might be a spot for a third attackman in that lineup.
Yeah.
So.
Charlotte is another team that has, you know, some holes to fill and some. When you say that, it's not just like. Holes to fill is like guys are terrible. It's that there's opportunities to be had because certain players, especially in the Hounds, are not consistent. And they will lose a couple guys to Worlds. So before we move on, I want to say shout out to JD Recor, former Inside Lacrosse intern.
That's right.
Congratulations. Hope he gets a fair shake. Definitely one of our favorite players. Anything else you can think of?
Nope. Think we're good to go.
All right. Next team, in alphabetical order, the Chesapeake Bayhawks, who drafted every long pole that ever lived.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
That is, I think they're sending a definite message that they like their offense. They'll have a bunch of conflicts as well.
Yeah.
But I think, and you know, maybe it's more of a reflection about the supplemental draft pool, but their priority was, we are getting all of the poles, and see who's going to rise to the top, like I said about the last guys.
Are you surprised they took Dupre as high as they did with the fourth overall selection in the first round, considering he has not played consistently in the MLL?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, maybe they know something I don't know about, you know, but that's a very high pick. So, I don't know. Yeah, no games last season, 8 games the year before. So, I mean, you know, the talent is there, and we've seen him, you know, especially like in college and things like that. But college was a long time ago. You know?
And he also finished with an injury in college.
Yeah.
So that kind of sets you back. And I know he's moved around the country taking different jobs at different schools. So hopefully he's kind of settled in. New Hampshire guy, so got to root for him always.
Sure.
And then, you know, reclaiming Matt Reese and Mark Lucini. Obviously, I feel like those are no-brainers.
Definitely.
I'm glad they fell to them. I actually really like Brian Massey. I know no one watches Sacred Heart except for me.
Right.
Because I watch weird schools. But I like that. And what did you think? I think the two that stood out to me are actually the next two picks they made in the fifth and seventh round. Goran Murray and John Glesner. John Glesner lifts.
Yeah, how about that?
That'd be great. I want to see him play an actual season that he can get his legs under him. I mean, it's tough with, you know, being a military guy out of Army, but I like that. I feel like Goran Murray, you know, was kind of one of those, ooh, he's still available to be picked off of waivers guys that, you know, the Hounds picked him up and used him. I don't know if he worked out with what they were trying to do there, but I think that, you know, Cottle is the guy that will put you in a position to succeed. So if he gets a shake, that might be worth taking a look at. Anybody else? I mean, you know, they drafted Jake's brother, which
sure.
good move.
Absolutely.
Good move. Got to have that brother connection. But anything else here that jumps out at you?
You know, not really. I mean, Tyler Young from Towson, again, you know, bringing in a midfielder. You'll see where they can contribute here. I thought probably one of their best moves, like you just mentioned, was bringing Glassini back.
Yeah.
I think we've been pretty high on him the past couple of years.
So underrated.
Yeah.
We're going to keep saying that. Because, by the way, the sub draft is where underrated players are created. And then we see them. Oh, underrated. rated,
right,
and then they're properly rated. So.
Absolutely. Yes, the supplemental draft is a lot of these guys are guys that we wrote about, like, in our, you know, MLL previews when they were coming out of school, and we were like, hey, these guys may or may not get drafted. Maybe you've never heard of them.
Right.
But we're really high on them, you know.
A lot of them are D-mids.
Right, because we're weird. So, yeah, Glicini was one of those guys. It was like, hey, I don't know if anybody's going to draft him, but somebody should because he's legit.
Yeah, he's excellent between the boxes.
Yeah, good to see him.
Any other thoughts?
Nope, think we're good on them.
Let's move on to, I don't like saying it. It's Dallas. Weird. Yeah. Yeah. Dallas,
that is
Rattlers. I'll get there, guys. I'm sorry. I know Dallas. It's a whole new fan base, and I shouldn't be alienating myself from them. But I'll get there, guys.
We're just
not there yet. Yeah. You know, the Rattlers are. You know, the 2008 Rattlers are, in my opinion, the greatest MLL team of all time. I understand people disagree with that. You have your right to your opinion. You're wrong. But supplemental draft, I feel like they went for guys that were local or guys they could convince to come down. As you pointed out earlier, the Stats trade. I mean, imagine him linking up with Zach Greer, who also lives in Texas now. That's an excellent kind of pickup. They picked him up late. I actually love Christian Carson Bannister, the former BU goalie. I've watched him play in the Patriot League forever. One of my favorite local guys in New England to watch play at the D1 level. He's not local in New England, but BU is. Right. So I saw him play a lot. I think he's super underrated. I was surprised at where he got drafted, but I understand it because I think that some coaches aren't coming around to Patriot League yet.
Right.
But they will, and because there's a lot of talent there. And he is basically was the best goalie in the Patriot League for almost 2 years. So that's a great pickup for me. Anybody else jump out at you?
Well, and he's a Texas guy, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, that was an awesome pickup as far as I'm concerned. The thing that I'm kind of questioning about Dallas is, so, yeah, they get Stotts and they get Jesse King, but they sent away, you know, future draft picks to get these guys who aren't going to contribute for them. You know, like, who knows when Randy Stotts is going to show up?
Yep.
Like, not only are these NLL guys, but these are NLL guys who have been successful in the recent past. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, I really don't know when they're going to, and Zach Greer the same way. It's going to be good to see him back on an MLL field after all this time. But again, you know, NLL conflict. It seems like the Rattlers kind of backed themselves into a corner with some of these picks. Like,
yeah,
if that's the future of their franchise and they're not going to get them until, you know, the fifth week of the season or something like that, could be a bumpy road early for them.
And you got to think, too, that they're going to miss a lot of players going to Team USA.
Yeah.
So these guys better produce, or Dallas is in for a rough entry into the league.
Definitely. And that's why it surprised me that they were willing to part with collegiate picks for it. It's like, that should have been kind of their backup plan.
How do you think Ohio won a championship? They were terrible for 3 years and reaped all the rewards of their high draft picks. Come on, guys. It's rare, but it happens. Maybe don't chuck the picks so quickly. I already missed Pseudo. Let's go on to the Denver Outlaws. Championship runners-up, unfortunately, for Outlaws fans. I don't know how I feel about I would love to see Henry Schoonmaker play again. I think a team like Denver is actually a better fit for him than the previous teams he's been on. I thought he had great games for Chesapeake at times, but he also fades because he's one of those two-way players. I don't know what to make of a lot of these other guys. Most of them are local or guys that they want to take a look at more closely. I think Nick Tintel probably gets a lot of the burn here for people that are following it and want to see kind of him develop. Obviously, he was with the Outlaws already, but it's good to see him. And, you know, notable, scooped up Sean Evans,
who
not only is, you know, we don't know if he's on Team Canada yet because they haven't released a roster, but I would assume he's
probably
in the mix.
Yeah.
So he's got NLL and Team Canada. I mean, they picked him 41st, so it's not too much of a reach. Dylan Ward also likely going to be on Team Canada. Maybe they're loading up for a late season push. I don't know, but I do like the first pick they made of Chris Fennell. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that was a good pick, and Sean Evans, where you could get him, is a great place to get him. You know, even if he shows up and does his, you know, 5-game stint or whatever for you, it's nice to have that card in your back pocket. I want to see if Where is he here? So they signed Maryland's Dylan Maltz.
Yeah, I was just going to say. That's underrated, man.
Yeah, didn't go draft.
We said it again. We're not allowed to have drinking games, but we have one. Every time we say underrated.
That's right.
We take a drink of water, kids.
Have a little bell that goes off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wasn't picked at all in the regular MLL draft. I expected him to go, I predicted he would go to, like, Chesapeake or something like that.
Right.
Mid to late round kind of guy, right. You know, local to the mid-Atlantic, Virginia, Maryland guy. Nobody ended up picking him up. He made all of them look silly, the way he played in this championship and Final Four weekend.
Absolutely.
I mean, 29 goals, 6 assists. So, you know, if he can come in, maybe there's going to be a spot for him, especially early on in the season. I think the big question with him is if he's going to be able to dodge on holes, you know, because
because
you can't really have a crease player and get a short stick on him in MLL.
Well, so. Denver does have angry guys that didn't make the U.S. team. So
that's true.
Eric Law, Jeremy Sieberts are... I'm sure they're going to be looking for good assist numbers and trying to tear up some of the guys that are in backup positions against them on other teams. I think Wilkins-Dismuke is a similar kind of look there where he could get some time early and maybe stick on the roster. And that's a real late pick. So I think maybe some Hopkins fans weren't super thrilled with all of his production, but, you know, the skill set is what we're looking at in MLL. And, you know, being able to catch and finish is a great skill to have. We've seen players with lesser caliber and lesser pedigree make an impact. Any other thoughts here before we move on?
No, you know, I think Denver, Denver's so high up right now in the league. I think they just, you know, grab a couple guys, try to stay afloat. They should be fine.
We are moving on to the Florida Launch, who made their first postseason appearance last year in the semifinals, unfortunately falling to the eventual champion, Ohio Machine. I got to tell you, the one guy that sticks out is the first guy they picked. The seventh pick, Tom Moore, Binghamton University. Again, I'm one of those people. I watch the weird teams. Let me tell you, Tom Moore is a baller. And he played a little bit for Atlanta last year. And I believe he had a hat trick at least once and scored 2 goals in his debut. So that's a guy that can score in the MLL, that could score in the NCAA. And maybe you haven't heard of him, but he doesn't play for an ACC school or Big Ten school or even a CAA school. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is a guy from Binghamton. I think he's the first guy to get picked from Binghamton, too.
I believe so.
He's tall. He's rangy. He's very skilled. He can body up. And he's great at breaking GLE and getting his hands free. I think with the Launch, that's a guy you're looking at. I mean, they also have some angry guys that didn't make Team USA. Dylan Malloy. Mm-hmm. Still ride hard for Dylan Malloy over here. Human Tonka truck. But I don't see anyone else really on here that, you know, makes me excited to see at the beginning of the season. I don't know what we're going to get from a guy like Brian Cole, who was drafted by the Machine and didn't kind of stick with them. But sometimes you see this in other sports as well as the MLL. Guys get drafted by teams that are really good and just don't have a spot for them. And then all of a sudden they go to the right team and they explode. Same thing for a guy like John Evans. That could be him out of Cornell. Any of your thoughts on this draft class from them?
You know, I was definitely going to say the same thing about, like you just said, about John Evans. Grabbing him in the sixth round, why not? Played with Connor Busick in school, so yeah. I mean, I don't know if they hang out or anything, but you know, in theory, you got that old classmate connection.
Probably got a couch to crash on,
right? Yeah, show him the ropes, show him around town. So I mean, you know, he had 3 goals, 3 assists when he played with Charlotte. He only played 3 games for him.
Right.
Again, he might be one of those guys that just needs a better fit elsewhere.
Yeah.
So maybe this is the spot for him.
I actually really like Andy D. McKay, even if I say his name wrong. I watched him play in the Big East tournament for Marquette. And he's an exceptional player. He's kind of a hinge guy that hangs out in lower GLE, can distribute the ball. Maybe not as flashy as some of the other guys, even in the league or on this list even. But he's a guy, you know, he might stick. He might stick. He's the thing about Marquette guys are smart.
Yep.
You don't last in that program unless you have a brain. Like, they that is one of the things that you develop at Marquette as a Golden Eagle. So any other thoughts before we move on?
Brought back P.T. Ritchie, 106th pick.
First name Peter. Who knew?
Yeah.
Probably.
I assume that's him.
Probably just his mom.
Yeah.
All right. 2 more teams left. We are going to the New York Lizards, who had a fairly disappointing season last year, not making the playoffs. What did you think of their picks? I'll give you first crack at this one.
So first one who jumped out to me, I gotta say, was Kevin Cunningham. He's another one of those guys similar to what I was saying about Jimmy Daly.
Yeah.
He's like a substitute teacher, but like in the movies, like substitute teacher comes in and cracks some skulls and gets everybody back in line. 5 games for Ohio last year, 10 goals, 2 assists. I mean, he's just been productive everywhere he's gone. It's just a matter of, you know, him staying on the roster whenever you get a ton of additional players. So I think he might be one of those guys, especially for a team like New York, who's going to lose a lot of players.
I mean, they moved Palasek and Gibson, so yeah, they're definitely openings at attack, even if, because Will Manny and RP3, and Will Manny will be there, but RP3 is not going to be there all season, so.
Right. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be a spot for him if he can go up and grab it. They have Mike Bocklin now as well.
But
still, it's definitely going to be a different-looking Wizards offense. So,
well, it better be.
Right.
Because stinky, dirty poo was what I watched last year for a bunch of 6-on-6 sets. I will tell you the guy I love the most on this list, yep, and I actually told Coach Spolina, Bobby Dubniak out of Harvard, LSM, I mean, he's a little small play, you know, close in the MLL, but he is really underrated. The super poor man's Scott Ratliff, really great off the ground, really solid in transition. And the thing is, he has great game sense. And the thing about the MLL is one of the things that you stick with, not only just your ability physically, but your ability mentally to change to situations and to adapt. Bobby Dubniak is one of those guys. And I feel like he's, again, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say underrated again.
Ding.
Ding. Underrated. Love his potential. It just looks like they loaded up. You know, the goal here is clearly depth, and they went for it. What are your thoughts on Denseglio? Because he's their first guy they took with the 14 selection in the second round.
Yeah. I'm interested to see where they're going to put him in the defensive lineup. You know, I feel like something's going to have to give there, but I also feel like New York is going to be hesitant to really make dramatic changes on their defensive end.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, just based on his collegiate performance, he is the kind of player who could stick around and make an impact.
Anyone else that kind of jumps out at you?
Late round guys, I mean, we'll see if they stick around, but they went with Pat Frazier in the 9th round and yep, Pat Laconi in the 11th.
A couple of hounds.
Yeah, two of the hounds.
Kind Other
of,
hounds. Right. Loyola hounds.
Right. Transition-minded kind of guys. We'll see if Laconi's skills kind of translate. He's been, you know, one of those guys as well. A couple games here, a couple games there.
Got hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Wasn't 100% in the MLL yet. I'm really excited that Dan Groot got drafted, because yeah, now I get to make Groot jokes for another year, and so do you.
It's good to have him back.
We got to celebrate those while we have them. They've returned to us. And I think after that, I mean, I don't know why they drafted Brian Carcaterra.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, what about Brian Carcaterra?
I actually asked Coach about it, and he just didn't give me an answer, so.
So, yeah, I mean.
Why don't you just draft the other Kirk?
Bring them both up.
Draft Paul. Come on.
Yeah, so he's what? He's 40, I believe?
Yeah.
He's been out of action for quite a while. I mean, look, if he wants to do it, good on him. He was a monster back at Hopkins.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
The original little goalie.
Yeah.
The original.
And just grab the ball and go. I mean, he was a problem.
Yes.
But I feel like, look, I don't play goalie, but I feel like if I'm 40 and I take a shot from, like, Connor Busick or something like that off of my shin, I'm just
out.
You know what? Yeah. That's it for me.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I mean, yeah. It's not a great look. We're going to move on to our final team, who just happens to be your 2017 world, not world champions, I guess we can't say that, MLL champions. We're going to save that. Ohio Machine. I mean, I feel like they think they did a great job, but I don't know if they did, because I see a lot. I don't think Mike Rooney's going to play again. I mean, you and I played with Greg Mila and Lasny.
Shout out.
Shout out to him. Always shout out to anybody under 5'7". It's my dude. Mark Matthews probably is the one that sticks out. Everyone's, like, excited about, but, like, Are you really excited for Mark Matthews to come in at the end of June?
Right.
Like, is that what we're excited for? Is that how we're gauging supplemental drafts? I'm going to leave the layup slam here for you. Even though I know you're not going to say it. I will.
Are you referring to the 22nd overall pick?
I am.
Number 22?
The most infamous number 22. Now he has another 22 associated with him, Jordan Evans. He didn't get drafted, and so many people were like, how did he not get drafted? And I was like,
yeah, people are mad.
Yo, you watch lacrosse?
Right.
I mean, listen, it's not that he doesn't have the tools athletically. This is a guy that he's got a great burst. He played at one of the best lacrosse programs in the country. I don't mean to like totally disparage. I just think that, you know, one of the things that he lacked, especially towards the end of his career, was a little game sense. And for Ohio, they got plenty of guys with that. So maybe they run him off and just tell him, you know, run down this alley. And if your shot's there, take it. If it's not, move it to X. And they gave him specific instructions. That's a guy that can execute those. I liked Garrett Thule, but, like, we don't know how available he's going to be.
Yeah.
And obviously Ryan Ambler is a good pickup from the player pool. But, you know, they still believe in Michael Quinn for some reason, even though he hasn't played for, like, 2 years, and they drafted him really high.
Yeah, he's the first-round pick. Yeah,
that's – I don't know how we feel about that. So, like I said, I think they think they did really well, but I don't know if they did. I think time is really going to tell on this one. This could be a complete fail, or it could be, you know, something that drives them to their second championship. Any other guys that pop out for you?
Well, I mean, it was interesting that they went with the offensive guys they went with. I liked what Ambler showed in his limited games last season.
Right.
They did go with a ton of defense later, which I don't know if it's telling or it's just, you know, suspicious or what. Maybe they just really like those guys. They want a competition. I feel like they have a core that they really want there, but
right.
It makes me question why they brought so many defensive-minded guys in. And
I mean, Evan Connell's just a mean dude.
Yeah.
They probably just brought him in to get a little tougher, even though they're already meanish as whatever.
As mean can be.
As whatever. Sorry. Almost slipped there, guys. Didn't, though.
Yeah, Evan Connell, do not forget, he got the unfair suspension last year.
Correct.
We'll continue to rally against.
Feeling wrong, he will be a problem.
And he deserves it. He deserves his vengeance.
Exactly. Anybody else?
You know, I agree the Jordan Evans thing. We'll see. The thing about Jordan Evans at Syracuse, he played, like, every position. He played attack. He played right. Midfield. He played as a defensive midfielder before he was an offensive midfielder. But that was all kind of out of, well, let's get you on the field and see what happens.
Yes.
It wasn't like, here's where you will dominate.
Hopefully they change that, because that didn't work.
Yeah, so, I mean, if there's, I don't know, maybe they'll just run him as a midfielder and see if he can contribute. I mean, maybe he can invert a little bit. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you could definitely try invert.
He's absolutely what I would consider a potential pick.
Yeah.
Which, I gotta be honest, if we're going to the MLL, there's 9 teams. We don't draft for potential here. There's no NBA, there's no G League. You know what I mean? We're not developing guys to maybe fill in for 10-day contracts. Okay? Right. It's the MLL. Like, you can play in our system or not. And I think, you know, he has the potential to do that. But I think there's very little certainty around a lot of these guys that they pick. I think there's just clouds of uncertainty. But it's not like they're the only team that did that.
Right, definitely.
Every other team kind of has that little cloud hanging over them. Like, this guy might not even show up. This guy might never play lacrosse again.
Right.
Or this guy might just be wrecking people in O30 leagues.
Also a possibility.
You know? Like, that's a huge possibility for a bunch of these teams. Any thoughts on Ohio before we wrap up?
I agree with what you said about Michael Quinn thing. I mean, hey, if he's in shape now and can run, you know, he had a bad injury. Good for him. I was surprised that they brought him back. You know, first round pick, hasn't played yet. But, I mean, if he's good to go now, you know, good for him. Mark Matthews, the same way. As what you were saying, you know, you might get him for 4 games later this season. That being said, I liked where they got him.
I mean,
fourth round supplemental, you know, I mean.
It's a good move.
I mean, yeah.
It's not terrible.
Right. He's still Mark freaking Matthews. Here's a stat. So I was looking up, because he's, you know, same sort of situation. He's not just an MLL guy. He's a successful one, you know.
And
so,
a Team Canada guy.
Yeah. So he might be there a couple weeks. But I will say this about Mark Matthews. Over his past 14 games, I went back and looked this up, 38 goals, 13 assists. So that's 51 points. And last season, Bauman Holman led the MLL 52.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a monster when he shows up.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll get him for a couple games, we'll see. Again, where they got him, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, that will wrap up our team-by-team kind of coverage. I do want to say I'm going to break some news here. I don't know if it's breaking news, but I will tell you that I know there has been some movement on a new commissioner. I have some information that I cannot share about who it might be, but I do know that, and what I can confirm and tell you guys is that, you know, the players' kind of council did interview three final candidates before the new year and definitely gave their recommendation. So I think we are actually moving forward with that. For guys, it's the most asked question I get on Twitter and all social media is what's up with the commissioner thing. That's I think it's going to be resolved soon, guys. Maybe even before this podcast goes up, or it might be another month or two. You never know. They might offer it to a guy and he says no, which I think has already happened a couple times. So we will see what happens with that. Make sure to tune in to Inside the Cross for that story. And definitely follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheKyleDevitt, TheKyleDevitte. Although Twitter's better than Instagram because I just post pictures of shoes and stuff.
Yep.
Chris, where can people grab you?
Twitter at ChrisRosie22. Instagram at ChrisRosenthal. But yeah, there's no lacrosse stuff up there either. So yeah, meet me on Twitter.
Yep. Meet us in the Twitters. See you guys later. Thanks for tuning in.
See ya. Sub no.